Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers took 2 out of 3 from the Padres. We're going to talk all about this series. We're going to talk about Trace Thompson, him continuing to come through, and whether he should be starting over Cody Bellinger in the postseason. We're going to talk about Mookie Betts and his on-air thoughts about playing in Los Angeles. And eventually we're going to start talking a little bit about, just a little bit, about Josh Reddick and his Twitter insanity. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, my name is Jeff Snyder. My regular co-host is Vince Samperio, although it's just me today. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue. As I mentioned at the top of the show, the Dodgers took 2 out of 3 from the Padres. They lost the first game, an ugly game. The offense just didn't show up. Maybe coincidentally or not, Trey Turner had his first day off of the season. And they lost that first game, came back with a vengeance, outscored the Padres 21 to, I don't know, 5 in the last two games, a lot to a little. They extended their lead in the National League West to 19 games. Dropped their magic number down to 9. It was one of those rare days when you can drop your magic number by 3 in one day without either team playing a doubleheader. And that's because the magic number coming into the game was 12. So beating the Padres, Dodgers win and a Padres loss, dropped it down to 10. But also this win clinched the season series for the Dodgers. It was their 10th win against the Padres this season, which means with 19 games against them, the Dodgers could lose all the rest and they would still win the season series. That means, because under this new CBA, they no longer do game 163 if a division ends in a tie because of the new wild cards and everything. So they just do a classic tiebreaker. And the first tiebreaker is season series. And so, if the National League West were to end in a tie this year, the Dodgers would win the division by virtue of having beat the Padres in their season series. So that means we're now looking at a magic number to tie the division, not win the division outright. And so that magic number is 9. So now the Dodgers clinched the division title or the season series, their magic number to win the division is 9. I hope that's as clear as mud. Math is sometimes fun and sometimes not. I think in this case, it's a fun time because we got an extra bonus number off the magic number that we weren't necessarily expecting coming into the day. A lot of stuff to talk about from this series. I don't even know where to start. I do want to talk about Trace Thompson. He came through again on Sunday, hit a huge 3-run home run after the Padres were battling back. I think I'm going to talk about Trace in the second segment, about whether he should be starting over Cody Bellinger in the postseason, basically. But I want to talk first. I want to talk about Mookie Betts. I don't know how anybody doesn't love Mookie Betts. He is so likable, so personable. Everything about Mookie Betts is wonderful. And Mookie Betts made even an ESPN baseball broadcast enjoyable on Sunday. He, in the top of the 5th inning, wore a mic. It was a long half inning. There was a pitching change and everything. And so they got a good, 15 minutes at least talking to Mookie on the air while he's playing. You know, during the pitching change, they stayed on talking to him. He went over and got some input from Bellinger and Gallo on some stuff. And a couple of things that jumped out at me, it was all fun. I could listen to Mookie Betts be mic'd up. He is so insightful. You know, a lot of players, you get cliches or you get boring, generic answers. Mookie, you could tell it's thoughtful answers to questions. And I love that about Mookie. It's one of the things, you know, he's a real person and he gives real answers. And I really like that. I don't mind the guys who give cliches. You know, I mean, Derek Jeter had a Hall of Fame career without ever saying anything interesting to the media, not even once. And maybe that's why people We're so excited to watch that Jeter documentary. I didn't watch it. There's no athlete that I would watch a whatever, you know, the Jordan's was what, 10 hours and Jeter's was, so maybe it's even still going. I don't know. Way more hours than I would be willing to watch, because if there's enough video to fill that long a documentary, guess what? I've already seen all the stuff. So maybe that's why people are excited to watch Jeter. I don't know. But Mookie is a very genuine person giving real answers. I really like it. And you know, they were talking about playing in Fenway Park and then playing in Dodger Stadium. And they didn't really ask him to compare and contrast. They just said it was kind of a, wow, you've played in two of the most iconic stadiums, you know. And Mookie, he kind of drew the contrast between the two places, talking about the fan bases. And he kind of halfway through his answer, he got worried. You could tell that people would think he was saying that Dodger fans don't care about the games. But really what he was saying was Red Sox fans are intense. They are, you know, they live and die by every pitch. You know, and it's the same with Yankee fans, Red Sox fans and Yankee fans. I don't know if it's the cities of Boston and New York. It's funny that they hate each other so much because they're so, so similar. It's like, hey, you're drunk and angry and have an obnoxious accent. I don't know if you're from New York or Boston. You know, Joey Gallo, there's a bunch of Yankee fans saying, oh, Gallo couldn't hack it in New York. Oh, I can't even do a New York accent. That might've been Boston. I don't know. They're all the same to me. But you know, yeah, those cities aren't for everybody, and that's okay. You know, Mookie did just fine in Boston. He won an MVP there, finished second another time. But you could tell that he kind of prefers the vibe of Dodger Stadium. And he actually said it's the best time of his life. And that is, that's pretty awesome. And I'm sure some of that best time of his life is having the teammates he has, having the quality of team he has. You know, he won a World Series with the Red Sox. He won a World Series with the Dodgers. You know, he knows there's great baseball in both places. But yeah, hearing him say it was the best time of his life made me happy, because we love having Mookie in Dodger Blue. He is on fire. He hit two doubles on Sunday, had another homer over the weekend. He's at 33 home runs now, his career high. Just, he's awesome. He's playing well. He's so likable. And, you know, sometimes these in-game interviews don't turn out great. Either the person is boring, or, you know, the person ends up having to, like, it actually distracts them from playing, or it's just pointless, you know? And this one was the opposite of all of that. It was just wonderful. Mookie didn't, I don't think he ever touched the ball while it was happening. He did have to run and back up a play. One time there was a comebacker to Alex Vesia that he threw to first. And so Mookie was the backup guy on that. So he was running. And then, you know, but other than that, it was just really, really enjoyable. And I thought the ESPN crew did a good job asking some interesting questions, or, you know, questions that got Mookie talking anyway. But I think Mookie could have done that with terrible questions. He is personable, and he knew what the assignment was, and he showed up and he did it. He said, be entertaining on TV for 15 minutes. And that's what he did. And I could listen to Mookie talk all day, even if it means watching an ESPN baseball game. And that's what I did on Sunday. And then I turned the volume down. Actually, I left it up because they had Andrew Friedman the next half inning. And then I turned the volume down. But it was a lot of fun. I love Mookie Betts. I believe I'm wearing a Mookie Betts jersey right now. I can't see my back, but I'm pretty sure that's what this one is. Yeah, there's nothing not to love about Mookie, and I'm so glad he is a Dodger for the next decade, because that makes me happy. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about Trace Thompson, him coming through again, and the idea of him playing over Cody Bellinger in the postseason. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, I am back. A couple little bits of news items. First, I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It really does mean a lot to Vince and me. We enjoy talking with you guys. We've really enjoyed the interaction, getting more YouTube comments lately, a lot of views on YouTube. I'm trying to reply to some comments. You know, I don't have time to reply to all of them, unfortunately. I know we did get some comments from some Mets fans after some of the games in the Mets series who kind of, I don't know, one guy said that we should say in my opinion before every opinion we state. So just a disclaimer, this is a podcast. We're going to be sharing some opinions here. So I do spit some facts once in a while. I'll be sure to let you know if something is a fact and anything else, just go ahead and assume it's an opinion. If I'm reading something off Baseball Reference, it's probably a fact. But yeah, we do a lot of opinions here. That's okay. One opinion is that Trace Thompson is really, really good. He's playing really well, and he might be earning the starting job in the postseason over Cody Bellinger, or Cody Bellinger unearning that job, as the case may be. Bellinger has been struggling, continue to struggle, and Trace Thompson continues to play really well off the bench. He hit a huge home run in Sunday's game. The Dodgers were up 5-1, and then Evan Phillips came in, and Evan Phillips had retired 29 straight batters. He's been lights out all season, and he just didn't quite have it. He actually allowed a run of his own, and he allowed two inherited runners to score. Went from 5-1 to 5-4 pretty quickly. Umpire helped him out on a strike three call against Trent Grisham. Bad calls happen. They happen against the Dodgers sometimes too. I am on record saying, yeah, in my perfect world, calls would be correct. Balls and strikes would be called correctly, so we could see what actually happens in a fair baseball game. But you know, that's what happened in this game. But so the Padres had pulled within 5-4, and it was a really tight game. Suddenly, Max Muncy got a hit. Justin Turner doubled to score somebody and move Muncy to third. I can't remember. I'm sorry. A lot of these guys run together in my minds, but so JT hit an RBI double to make it 6-4 and put runners at second and third. Trace Thompson came up to pinch hit because the lefty Adrian Morahone was on the mound. And Trace Thompson hit a 1-0 pitch 55,000 feet over the wall in left field for a 3-run homer, put the Dodgers up 9-4. That ended up being the final score. And it was huge insurance runs in that situation. I'm sure it was huge for Trace, having started the season with the Padres and then being DFA'd just a week into the season. And being back with the Dodgers now, doing that, it was a huge home run for Trace. It was a huge home run for the Dodgers. And it kind of, you know, I see a lot on social media, people saying Trace Thompson should be starting over Cody Bellinger. And based on their play, I don't disagree. I understand why Dave Roberts is continuing to give Cody Bellinger playing time, because if Cody could figure it out, the Dodgers are a better team with an effective Cody Bellinger. Even if, you know, it is a platoon situation or something, Cody being better would be better for the Dodgers. And he's not going to get better by sitting on the bench. He's going to get better by playing, if he's going to get better at all. Jerry Harrison had some interesting thoughts after the game the other night. I think it was after the loss on Friday night. He had some pretty passionate thoughts about Bellinger's stance. And I don't disagree with what Harrison said. I don't know enough to know whether I agree or disagree on the specifics of the hitting. Harrison seems to think that it's as simple as changing his stance to go back to what he was using in the postseason last year. My initial, and like I said, I'm not saying Harrison's wrong. Jerry Harrison is a veteran ball player, third generation ball player. He knows baseball very, very well. He knows major league hitting better than I ever will. So I'm not going to say he's wrong. I do think, though, if it was that simple, I feel like he would have done it already. And, you know, Cody has messed with so many different stances over the years. Even in his 2019 MVP season, he had multiple stances that year, and he was good all year. People, there's a revisionist history that he had a great 2 months and then he was bad the rest of the year. No, he was worse the rest of the year, but he still had like a 900 OPS the last 4 months of the season. He was very good all year long. That was with a few different stances. And so I have a hard time believing that it's as simple as this one stance that Jerry knows would work for Cody would actually work for him. Maybe it would. I didn't love that that Hairston was dismissive of the Dodgers hitting coach, Robert Von Scoyach. You know, he didn't call him out by name, but he talked about hitting gurus who never played in the majors. Well, you know, maybe he wasn't only talking about Von Scoyach, but that definitely describes the Dodgers hitting coach. And he's had a lot of success with a lot of people. And Cody Bellinger has been one of those people at times. I don't know what the answer is with Cody. I don't know that anybody does. And because if anybody did, I think it would have happened by now. Hairston's employed by the Dodgers. You know, I mean, he could make a phone call tomorrow. I assume he's expressed these opinions to people who are in Cody's ear, maybe to Cody himself. I don't know. But, you know, what we know is that Cody's not hitting well right now. His defense is still very good. But for the first time, we have a viable replacement. Trace Thompson also plays very good defense in center field or left field, wherever you want to put him. You know, you can put Chris Taylor in center. Chris Taylor's not hitting either. But, you know, there is a viable option. Trace Thompson could plug in and replace Cody Bellinger in the starting lineup in the postseason, and you would barely miss a beat defensively. And you right now, Trace Thompson is a better hitter than Cody Bellinger. I believe Cody Bellinger is a better athlete than Thompson a little bit. I believe that he is fundamentally a better baseball player, but that doesn't mean right now. You know, I guess what I should say, I don't know if I said that right. So if you've already typed your anger comment in YouTube before you click submit, see if this sounds better to you. I believe that Cody Bellinger's ceiling is much, much higher than Trace Thompson's. I believe that Cody Bellinger at his best is a significantly better player than Trace Thompson at his best. The problem is we haven't seen Cody Bellinger's best for any sort of prolonged period in 3 years now. And that's a problem. And we've seen some of his worst lately. And, you know, last year, Vince and I have talked about how last year the Dodgers didn't have viable options to replace some guys. It's like, well, who are you going to, you're going to let Luke Radley play? You're going to let Zach McKinstry play, Zach Rex play, DJ Peters? They didn't have, you know, Billy McKinney, Steven Souza Jr., so many guys. That's just from last year. Albert Pujols, he's hitting great right now. He got a lot of starts at first base last year because they needed him because they were so low on guys because of injuries and everything. Albert Pujols, he's a lot of fun. He has 695 homers now, five away from 700. I hope he gets it. I love Albert Pujols. He's not a great defensive player. That's why he doesn't play defense for the Cardinals this year, and he wouldn't have played defense for the Dodgers last year if they'd had any other options. That's kind of my point. The Dodgers have options this year. And I don't know. I assume Bellinger would still make the postseason roster if he's not starting for, you know, defensive purposes, you know, late inning defensive substitution, lightning in a bottle off the bench, off the plate, you know, at the plate. Maybe there's a specific pitching matchup they like or whatever. But, you know, I agree with Dave Roberts. Continue to give Cody Bellinger the starts right now. I think they should give Bellinger the rest of the season, or at least most of the rest of the season, to get it figured out. Because I think Trace Thompson is ready. He's shown that he doesn't need to be playing every day to be getting ready for the postseason. He will be ready whenever he's called upon. And I hope they keep giving Bellinger a chance to get right. But if he doesn't, it makes me very happy that they do have options to replace him, realistic options that would actually make the Dodgers maybe even a better team in the postseason. That's my thoughts on that. Couple of quick news items. David Price went on the injured list with a inflammation in his left wrist. He says he plans on being back this season. We'll see. They use that injured list to call Ryan Pepiot back up. He made the start on Sunday. It did not go well. He doesn't have an out pitch right now. And it's frustrating. The Padres had a ton of two strike foul balls because Pepiot couldn't put them away. And the bottom line is, if you have to throw 10 or 12 pitches to every batter, yeah, eventually four of those are going to be balls and you're going to walk guys. And that was what happened. He walked guys. His command wasn't there. He couldn't put them away. Ended up only giving up one run, but didn't even get through. They used Caleb Ferguson as opener, and then Pepiot didn't even get through three innings of his own. He was done in the fourth inning before getting through the fourth inning, allowed one run. It was unearned, but it wasn't the game they were hoping to get from him. Used the bullpen a lot. Luckily, the previous two games, they hadn't had to use the bullpen very much at all. Part of that is because Hanser Alberto pitched on back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday, once in a big loss, once in a big win. It was his. He's now pitched in 8 games this year. 7 of them have come in Dodgers wins. Both of those extend records that he already held. Let's see, other news. That might be it on the news front, I think. Tony Gonsolin's MRI came back as good as they could have hoped, Dave Roberts said. Bruce Dar-Gratterall's MRI showed no structural damage. And so both of those guys hopefully will be back. As good a news as we could have gotten on those, we still don't know any specifics on when to expect them. But it's good news as far as the MRIs are concerned. So I'm going to come back in just a minute. I have one more segment. I'm going to talk about Josh Reddick, former Dodger and former cheating Astro. Josh Reddick had some interesting comments on Twitter that last week, accusing the Dodgers of cheating when he was on the Dodgers then. I have some thoughts about that. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Okay, I am back. And as I promised, Josh Reddick, former Dodger, former Astro, former cheater. So once a cheater, always a cheater, probably. Josh Reddick had some interesting comments on Twitter. There was a video of him. He's now playing for the Savannah Bananas. If you're not familiar with the Savannah Bananas, they are a gimmicky team. There's viral videos all the time of them, like all 8 batters on the field, or all 8 fielders, the pitcher and 7 fielders doing like a choreographed dance, and then the pitcher throwing a pitch. It's a gimmicky league. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball, except less fun to watch. And Josh Reddick is playing for them now. His life has become a gimmick, and that's fine. But Ben Verlander, Justin Verlander's little brother, who has a job because of Justin Verlander's little brother, he posted a video of Reddick's first at bat with the Savannah Bananas. Like, camera followed him up the clubhouse tunnel and then to the plate, and they were excited in Savannah because, I don't know, I think Reddick's from Georgia. Maybe that's why they're excited. I don't know. Anyway. In the comments on that, somebody accused Reddick of being a cheater, and somebody else said he didn't cheat, and somebody said, yeah, he did. Look at the stats. How do you know he didn't cheat? And Josh Reddick himself replied and said, because it's been proven, moron. I'm sure you think your team was innocent too, huh? Well, by your team, he means that this guy he was responding to has a Twitter handle of Dodgers on top. So this guy was a Dodger fan. So Josh Reddick was saying, I'm sure you think the Dodgers were innocent, huh? And the Dodger fan asked for proof of the Dodgers cheating. And Josh Reddick said, I was there. So there's my proof. You know, the old-fashioned, because I said so. Shockingly, that didn't satisfy this Dodger fan. So he asked again for proof. And Reddick said, plenty of proof, just not a snitch. So, if you keep a score at home, first of all, Reddick falsely claims that it's been proven that he didn't cheat in 2017. What's actually been proven is that he did. The data suggests that he probably cheated less than his teammates, but that's just based on the analysis of trash can bangs that you could hear on the broadcasts. And the other thing to remember is the Manfred report specifically says that they also used whistling and clapping and yelling at different times to send the signs. So it wasn't just banging on trash cans. So we don't know for sure what they used when. And the other thing is, even when they were using the banging scheme, no bang just meant it was a fastball sometimes. He didn't bang, it's a fastball. If they bang, it's off speed. And so the fact that you couldn't hear the bangs doesn't mean that didn't mean Josh Reddick knew what was coming. So first of all, he falsely claimed he didn't cheat when the data proves that he did cheat. We just don't know how much. He also claims that in addition to the cheating teams that he's already been proven to have played for in 2017 and 2018, he also played for a cheating team in 2016. Only Josh Reddick could think that saying, well, you know, I cheated 2 years in a row, but did you know it was actually 3 years in a row? Only Josh Reddick could think that would make him look better. And then the third thing is, in addition to proudly admitting and claiming and declaring that he played for 3 straight cheating teams, he also brags that he's just too darn loyal to turn on his disgraceful cheating teammates by showing the copious proof that he definitely, absolutely, for sure has. He definitely has proof. He's just not a snitch. Look, Josh Reddick, I don't know. You know, well, so most of Reddick's old teammates didn't respond because, you know, they're still Major League Baseball players. They have Major League Baseball games to prepare for, unlike Josh Reddick, who plays for the Savannah Bananas of the old washed up ballplayers league. But one guy who is retired and did have time to respond was Scott Van Slyke. Somebody asked his thoughts on it. And somebody said, old slappy here, Josh Reddick is saying you're all cheaters. Proof? He was there. What say you? And Scott Van Slyke said, no cheating when I was a Dodger. Now, when was Scott Van Slyke a Dodger? Oh, that's right. Same time that Josh Reddick was. So Scott Van Slyke is saying the Dodgers didn't cheat in 2016. Josh Reddick's saying they did. So we have a proven admitted cheater saying the Dodgers cheated, and we have a guy who hasn't been proven to have cheated saying the opposite. How will we ever possibly figure out who to believe? Look, Josh Reddick, if you're watching this, you're listening to this, I'm sure you are. Here's all I want. If you have proof, spill it. Because what I suspect is that what you think is proof is the Dodgers doing legal things that, you know, didn't cross the line into cheating. Here's the way I look at it. You're in a race. Say here's a drive I'm familiar with. You're trying to get from my house in Utah to Dodger Stadium, a drive I've done many times. And let's say that they say, but you absolutely are not allowed to break the speed limit. You're here in Utah, most of the interstate is 80 mile an hour speed limit. So you're driving and you have one team. We'll call this team Boston. This driver is named Boston, and he figures out that he can go 83 miles an hour and nobody will pick up on it. So he does that. And later it's found out and he gets punished a little bit. And then you have a team, let's call this driver, let's say his name is Dodger. And he has, you know, technology and he's really good. He's figured out how he can get right up to 80 miles an hour and stay right there. Every once in a while, maybe on a downhill stretch, maybe his car drifts up to 81, maybe before he catches it, you know. And then you have a driver, we'll name him Houston, and he just goes 110 miles an hour and flips off the cop on his way past. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about teams that do everything they can within the limits of the rules with technology and everything. And, you know, yeah, the Yankees have been caught crossing the line. The Red Sox have been caught crossing the line. People have accused the Dodgers of crossing the line. No one has ever shown any proof. No one has ever even really said any specifics of what they think the Dodgers did to cross the line. But, you know, and then you have the Astros, who clearly, obviously, brazenly, and blatantly crossed the line, showed no remorse, and won a World Series with it. That's the difference here. You know, people saying everybody cheats, I think most of them don't understand that stealing signs is legal. If you're allowed to steal signs, if you can pick up on them on the field, you're allowed to, and they've tweaked the rules over the years, what you can do with technology. But as far as I know, even still, it's not illegal to review game film and say, oh, look, this catcher and pitcher, they usually go to this set of signs with a runner on second base. If that pattern is there, there's nothing wrong with doing that. What the Red Sox got in trouble for was doing that in real time within the game. The players probably didn't even know it was happening. They're just getting data and from second base. They're like, oh, my data team told me that they're on this set of signs. I'm on second base. I'm going to tip this sign off to the hitter. Everything the players are doing is legal. It's just that how the data team got the information was illegal. What the Astros did was players involved in actively cheating by stealing signs in real time using technology and passing them along in real time from off the field to on the field. Everyone with any sense of impartiality and common sense recognizes the distinction here. I know I'm a Dodger fan. I recognize I'm biased. I'm already 18 steps ahead of a lot of Astros fans by admitting my bias, but Joshua, whatever your name is, if you have proof that the Dodgers cheated, spill it. Because I, as a Dodger fan, want to know. Because I as a lover of baseball, would be very upset and disappointed in my team if I found out they cheated. But what I have is you acting like a petulant child, claiming to have proof they cheated, when I'm not even convinced that you're smart enough to know whether, you know, I don't doubt that the Dodgers did something that you think was cheating. And I suspect if you spilled the evidence, what you'd find out is, oh, that wasn't against the rules. Oh, how come banging the trash can is against the rules then? Yeah, I'm not convinced that Josh Reddick isn't a moron. That's what I'm getting at here. So Josh, if you have proof, spill it now. And then we can all look at it and say either, well, that sucks and I am very disappointed in the Dodgers and I'm going to reevaluate my feelings. Or more likely, we could say, Josh, you idiot. You don't even know what you're talking about. So until then, by you having dignity and pride and not being a snitch, I'm just going to jump straight to Josh, you idiot. You have no idea what you're talking about. And there you have it. That's my thoughts on that. I will now go back to forgetting that the Astros exist until the next time the Dodgers play them, which hopefully will be next year. But yeah, I don't know. It's a poor Josh. Someday he may be relevant again. When he gets all, I almost said when he gets in the Hall of Fame. I forgot I'm talking about Josh Reddick here. Anyway, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for checking out Locked On Dodgers every weekday morning. We really appreciate it. Thank you for making us your first listen. Now for your second listen, check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team of experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you aren't watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we'd love if you add one or two days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, please tell them about the show. Maybe they'll like it too. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.